I'm goofing up all the
time. I'm with Paul and Kirstin, K-I-R-S-T-I-N-E, Rodley, R-O-A-D-L-E-Y. And we're here at the Caravan Park in Mount Isa, where you're currently staying for a few days on this rather large trip of yours.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we've been very fortunate. The Caravan Park here, Sunset Top Tourist Park, has actually given us free accommodation.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So from Sunday through till tomorrow.
Yeah.
So totally free of charge. And in fact, they even just filled our gas bottles up for free.
Oh,
so, yeah, he's a very, very generous person.
Yeah.
You know, as we've found out in Isa, there's quite a few generous people.
Cool. Yeah.
So,
So, all right, let's... where are you from?
I'm Geelong, born and bred.
Yep.
Kirstine's from...
Deniliquin.
But when we started the trip, we actually started in Perth.
How long ago was that?
That was at the start of April. 2nd of April, right. We actually left West Australia and started on the journey. So so far, we've done about 25,000 kilometres, and still another 60-odd thousand kilometres to go.
So we've gone doing under.
Come up underneath.
Yeah.
We still need to go back and do some more because we had some commitments with some of our fantastic sponsors. We had to delay some areas and some parts of some states. So,
is there a goal here to see as much of the country as possible? Or,
To get to the smaller communities.
Yeah, the smaller communities. That's our goal.
Be seen in the smaller communities. That's we find the big cities, sort of, they get a lot of coverage, a lot of access.
Yeah.
There's a lot of already talk about mental health and the stigmas attached to it, whereas in the smaller communities, in our personal experience, that doesn't happen. And that's what we just really want to message out to country Australia, that if you're not okay, please speak up, and if you're worried about someone, go and talk to them.
What inspired this trip?
July, I've got 27 years in the emergency services
yep.
as a fire and rescue, ambulance, and SES. Unfortunately, that's all got a little bit too much. In July last year, I became quite depressed, non-functioning, like literally non-functioning. Kirstine organised a visit to the doctor, and we got there within 10 minutes. He had us on the way down to the hospital under the Mental Health Act for a review. And they diagnosed me with severe post-traumatic stress disorder, severe anxiety and depression.
It's quite a demanding job. I mean, you'll be seeing a lot of that in your day to day.
Over 27 years, I've seen, things that people just shouldn't see. Spielberg would be lucky if he could simulate some of the stuff that I've seen. It's so graphic. So as part of the rehab and all the counselling and that, the psychiatrist suggested we do a trip. Get away from where we were, because that was a key part of the problem. Kirstine had to go, a few days later or so, Kirstine had to go into work just to sign a few things off because she was a manager. She came back, I said, well, they said about doing the trip, where can we do it? She said, yeah. And I said, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it properly. Let's go around the country.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to do that, let's try and help other people.
Yep.
At the same time, try and break down the stigma about mental health, about suicide prevention, and let people know it's okay to feel bad.
Yeah.
You don't have to feel okay every day.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, looking after your mates.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing they're going to have bad days. So that's where this was all born.
So obviously, apart from leaving job, but also, you've got three young children. It would have meant uprooting down from school and all that kind of thing as well.
Yeah. So the three kids get homeschooled.
Yeah, okay.
So between Kirstine and I, we do the homeschooling for the kids. We're a blended family, which makes life interesting anyway.
Yeah.
So the two girls, Kirstine's biological and Cooper's my biological.
Right.
So we've got 7 and 8 for the girls and 6 for Cooper.
Right.
We did have to uproot them and that, but, they're learning so much.
I'd imagine.
Like, they can
and I'm
do
sure
things.
You must be learning a lot too.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I've been lucky. I have travelled a bit of Australia.
Yeah.
Not as much as what we're doing now. I mean, you know, I've never been to the Isa before.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I know people that have. I've worked for BHP Billiton at Olympic Dam, and I know people that have worked here that have gone down there and that. So I knew a bit about the town, but.
Yeah. And you mentioned that tonight, I don't think you mentioned on the tape, but you mentioned that you're going to speak at the Rotary Club, is that?
Yes, yeah, Mount Isa Rotary Club invited us to come along and have a chat tonight.
So have you been doing that around where you've been going, sort of talking to service club and the like?
We've been trying to.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put the invitations out there. Sometimes people pick us up and run with it sometime. Yeah. We've actually had quite a bit of buy-in from schools, although interestingly, nothing from Mount Isa.
Okay.
We contacted all the schools.
And nothing.
And emailed them all and said, you're happy to come and talk, and this is what we talk about. You know, we talk, obviously, not so much about the heavy stuff, the adult content, but more to do with service dogs in the community, their role, but also about the kids that, you know, if you are worried, and again, as Paul said, looking after your mates and speaking up, or if you're being bullied, you know, do something, you know, talk to people. So at schools, like we spoke at Tambo in Queensland, and they thought it was just fantastic. Yeah. They really enjoyed it.
Now, you mentioned the dogs. Yeah. We've got to talk about the dogs. What's the story here with the dogs?
Yeah, so Luna, L-U-N-A.
Yep. Someone mentioned me?
Yeah, that's right.
Especially when Dad does. She's a mental health assistance dog.
I must say I've never heard of such a thing.
Most people haven't.
Yes.
The technical term is psychiatric service dog,
mm-hmm.
Under the Disability Discrimination Act. So she helps me basically live life.
Right.
She helps me get out. She keeps
an eye on those kinds of
things. Well, it's a lot more than companionship.
Okay.
There is things like dogs that are therapy dogs, companion dogs. And then you've got the next level up, which is service dogs, which is what she is. So she actually has the exact same service access as a guide dog.
Right.
So to do that, they've got to do a whole heap of testing. They get evaluated by two different assessors.
Yeah.
And part of that's what they call public access test, making sure the dog's bomb-proof. Can it go into buses? Can it go into trains? Is it okay with kids? Is it okay with other dogs? Does it refuse food?
Yeah.
If it got off lead in a supermarket, is it going to go straight to the meat aisle? You know, or does it come back?
Yes, of course.
So, in fact, her test, they actually did that. They made her wait in the food right beside the deli. Made me walk away, and then I had to call her, and she had to come straight away, which she did. You know, so Mind Dogs, who is the organisation that helped us accredit Luna, they look at your own dog and see has it got potential.
Yeah.
So they do some initial testing.
So Luna was your dog before
she
went into the program.
Yeah,
before went into the program.
She was 8 weeks of age.
Right.
And Kirsten did some research when I first got sick. And she found Mind Dogs and...
Mind, M-I-N-D.
M-I-N-D,
yep.
D-O-G.
Yep.
All one word.
Okay.
Mind Dog. You can find them at minddog.org.au.
Yep.
If you want to get the right way they do it there. Or on our website. So they do initial testing just to see, does the dog potentially have what's needed? To be a service dog.
Yeah.
You know,
I
mean,
skills.
If it's people scared, dog scared, you know, it's a feral, it's got hippie, you know, medical issues or something like that, then it just can't be a service dog. It's got to pass all these different tests, including the vet checks and blood tests and all this sort of thing. So,
I'm still, I guess, Doug, you said it does more than just companion.
Yep.
What?
Okay, so she keeps an eye on my anxiety levels during the day.
Okay.
If my anxiety is getting too high, she'll give me triggers. If I ignore those triggers because I'm too focused on what I'm doing, she sort of ramps it up to get to a point where she will literally, if I'm sitting down, she'll actually sit on top of me to say, you need to calm down, and she'll stay there until she senses my anxiety drops down. So I can't just whatever, go away.
That's an astonishing gift. Like, I mean, it's hard for humans even to pick that up, let alone
animals. Yeah, and I don't have to give her any cues. She just does it. And then after, you know, like at night time, I have nightmares all the time.
Right.
Because of the PTSD. She will see or pick up that I'm having a nightmare. She'll come up on our bed. She'll actually wake me up. and then she'll lay beside me until I relax.
No.
I calm down. So she does all that without being cued. She's got a few other things she does. She has one thing where she'll walk around. To be a service dog, they've got to have a minimum of 3 different key things that they do.
Yeah.
You know, she'll do circles around me. If it's getting too crowded, if there's too many people, she'll do circles around to basically give me some of my space because I'm not grading crowds.
Yeah.
You know, supermarkets or, you know, shopping centres. Totally, I absolutely hate them, but between Kirsten and Luna, you know, and Luna does most of the work, doesn't she? Because Kirsten's usually looking after the kids.
Yes.
You know, she'll keep me safe from that sort of thing. If someone is getting frustrated or a little bit too full on or too close, she'll actually go and lay down in between. Non-aggressive. Obviously, to be a service dog, they can't have any aggression. So she'll actually lay between them and me and give us a buffer zone.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's super smart. But then you take her vest off her and, you know, she's... Yeah, she's playtime.
Yeah.
You know, as Kirsten said earlier about schools, it's part of the schools we're educating the kids about service dogs. Don't pat them if they've got their vest on or anything like that. Any of you who want to pat them, you need to ask first. You know, that sort of thing. And we talk about how Luna is when she's got a vest on. And then, as part of the discussions with the kids, we then take her vest off. And she's just... She's gone. She's running in between the kids. The kids are patting her and everything else. I call her back, put her vest back on. She's back down. You know, she knows the difference between the vest on and the vest off.
So I guess then... I guess in terms of the public education side of what you're doing, there seems to me to be two sides to this. One, the obviously just getting the, you know, getting people talking about mental health, but also, the other side then is talking about the dogs and the useful service that they do.
Correct. That's why we picked Lifeline and Blind Dogs as our beneficiaries.
So how long is this going to trip them take you?
At this stage, probably till the end of next June.
Wow.
So, you know, June next year at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
And it may even go longer than that, you know, depending on, you know, commitments with other members of the public, you know, groups, schools, our sponsors.
So you have people, I mean, that's what my next question, how are you managing to keep the, you know, paying the bills that are going to keep coming in while you're...
The bills and that, we pay for ourselves.
Yeah.
The only things that we don't have to pay for is servicing of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Because Nissan Australia Foundation donate the vehicle for the trip.
Nice.
So they do all the servicing of the vehicle, and BP, when we fuel up at a BP service station, BP will pay for the fuel. We've got, you know, fuel cards to pay for that. Other than that, all the costs are our own. The accommodation, the food, the bills, the phones, internet, data.
Yeah,
just absolutely kills us.
Yes,
that's
what it means
so much, you know, when local businesses, you know, are willing to, you know, when they hear that we're coming, you know, and we might send out an email and say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And Peter came back and said, powered site for the week, no problem, that's fine. You know, Paul contacted, you know, it was the miner's mate mechanical, and they went, we'll service the camper trailer for you, the bearings and seals and all
It was getting a bit
hot
for the bearings, so I contacted them. They came to us and said, happy to do it, free of charge. So they did yesterday. Pulled it all apart, checked the bearings. They were getting dry, but they weren't bad.
Yeah.
So they cleaned them up, re-greased them. They put brand new seals in because the seals are starting to leak. They only had it for less than 2 hours. They rang us up and said, here it is, it's ready to go. They've greased everything. They even climbed underneath it to make sure that there's no stress fractures or anything, which, you know, we didn't expect it to be with Cub, because Cub actually gave us the camper for the trip. At the end, they'll take it back. They're going to auction it off, and all the proceeds from the auction will come back to our beneficiaries.
Nice.
So, you know, I mean, you can tell by the vehicle, we've got a lot of fantastic sponsors.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's great, but all the costs, the bills and all that sort of thing, we're paying for on our own.
Yeah.
So
where's the next step? Where's the next stop?
Next stop's Richmond.
Richmond.
Yeah. So heading that way. Hopefully Richmond.
Yeah.
Richmond. So we're heading east.
And then out.
East and then north.
Yeah.
So where'd you come from before here?
We were actually at Boolia for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. So you came up that way through Birdsville and come up the Birdsville track?
We didn't actually do Birdsville yet.
No, we haven't done the Burstville yet.
I would.
That's something still coming.
Yeah.
So we did Boolia, Djara.
So how did you get, where did you go from for Boolia?
We went.
Oh, right. Mandarin, so you went up to Winton then, through that way.
Yeah, all through that way.
So, we've still got another month and a half or so.
Yeah.
In Queensland. Our Queensland itinerary's up.
Yeah.
Originally, we'd put out the itinerary for the whole trip, and we ended up pulling it back because we found, you get held up here or there, exactly. And then it'd be all of a sudden, the itinerary's not worth the paper it's
Littered on. I think that's a good move.
So, we've had people contact us and say, when are you going to be at such and such? You can plug into the back of my house and, do that sort of thing. So.
Look, that's all the questions I had. Anything else that I've missed in terms of, any information you want to get out there?
Well, if people can go to our website, which is Driving Oz,
mm-hmm.
blackdog.com,
yep.
Oz being OZ.
Yep.
They can go on there, they can see what we're doing. We've got links to our Facebook, all our social media, our videos.
Yeah.
We've now got a drone, so we're actually doing some aerial videos.
Have you done any?
Not here. Can't do it here because we're too close to the airport.
Yeah,
and we're not going to break them.
Sure, yeah. No, I was just thinking because I can link to your video. If we can put it into if there's something, it'd be good if it was local. But if it's not,
we've got a YouTube page.
I'll just have a look.
And that's got the footage on there from a few different sites and that. And there's a lot more to go up. It's just our biggest thing is data.
Yes.
Because the kids' school works all online.
Of course.
The videos are all high quality stuff.
They're all production quality
because we're doing a documentary as part of the trip. So, video craft paired up with Sony. We have the whole documentary kit with the gear. So, we've got video cameras, wireless microphones, DSLRs, and all that sort of thing. So, tonight when we go to Rotary, we'll actually film some of it.
Some of that.
So, it's going to be good. It's a big trip, it's a massive trip, but, the sponsors we've got, the sponsors we're still waiting for, At the moment, we're desperately trying to find a sponsor for a laptop. The one we've got is pretty well dead. We had another one, and unfortunately, it got damaged beyond repair. So that slows us down with our videos and all that. It's the one we've got, can't do the videos, so we have to try and do what we can online. It all takes time.
Paul and Kirsten, thank you very much and good luck for the rest of the trip.
Thank you.